Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know. This board's been acting crazy. This has been a crazy day. Welcome to the FSP show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. the Master, a.k.a. what they call me, ATM, the Money Man. Looks like I'm going to make some money from the host, Vic. I'll be telling you what the deal is on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on the Master Plan, which I host all by myself. I'm here on Saturday in place of Vic. He's enjoying his family. He's back from the States, so he's been having a good time all this week. Supposedly, he's out and about in the DMV area, enjoying being back with his family from overseas from the last 2 or 3 years. So shout out to Vic and his family. Enjoy the times. I know where you're going. Get in the waterworks and cool off in this hot day on the East Coast, up and down the East Coast. It's blistering hot right now. The humidity is high, and I'm sitting here in the AC, chilling out. Now, before I go any further, the number to call in, I'll say that first. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. It's 347-637-3220. The chat room is open. If you'd like to jump in that, it's an open fray as always, I should say. The chat room is whatever you want it to be, people. You are the listeners. You are ones that drive the show here. Wherever direction you want to go in the chat room, I'll be more than happy to go with you. Before I go any further, before I start talking about the NBA draft, I start talking about some other news in the NBA, I start talking about some track and field stuff and pre-Olympic stuff and other things, I got to talk about a pet peeve of mine that I would say pet peeve of mine, but it's something that got on my nerves as I was out and about before I came home. Now, I don't know if it's me. I don't know. You know, I have a cell phone. I understand that. I get out and about and use my cell phone. I ain't got no problem with that. No problem with that at all. The problem I have is when I think the use of a cell phone, for lack of any better words, is inappropriate. Some place you just, come on, place you just don't use a cell phone. If you want to use it, take a walk outside, get away from the public if you want to talk and converse, and let everybody hear your conversation. Take a walk. Go somewhere else. It's more important for you to be in line for something that you want to do or to talk on the phone. It's not a medical emergency. It's not an emergency. You're standing up there. So why are you sitting on the phone, and joking, and people looking at you like, you know, you wish you would get off the phone, but nobody's saying anything to you because they don't want an attitude from whoever's on the phone back. I'm sitting in the post office this morning, in line, waiting to conduct my business in the post office, when the person in front of me is on the cell phone, yapping away, having a good old time, oblivious to whatever surrounding she was at. And I'm not pointing this just because it's a woman. I'm just saying because I've seen this happen in both genders, high-hying, like carrying a normal conversation on a phone in a public venue. People looking at her like, you know, they will wish her, get off the damn phone, or take your conversation elsewhere rather than sit in line and ha-ha and whatever else. Nobody wants to know your business. Nobody wants to hear you on your cell phone. That's, in my opinion, very rude, and I just had to air that because I just didn't like it. I don't know if I'm getting old and getting crusty. I'm usually a pretty easygoing guy, but for some reason, now don't get me wrong, she didn't look bad. I'm just saying, for some reason, this got under my skin. The scrumpet as soon as I said scrumpet, then you know she ain't got no sense. So in my opinion, she was a scrumpet, okay? Let me put it that way, guys. You know what I'm talking about, for those in the know. So she just was oblivious to whatever was going on and had to carry her conversation off. I have to give her credit, though, what credit is due. When her name was called, the attendant walked away from the, because she called her up, but then she walked away. The attendant walked away because she had to take care of some business real quick to come back to deal with the scrumpet. When the attendant walked away and was taking care of her business, that scrumpet decided to say, let me call you back after I get out of here. Now, I don't know what took her so long to realize that, other than the fact that she realized that I can't be on the phone talking to somebody if I'm conducting some business. Why couldn't she think of that earlier when she was standing in line where everybody was looking at her like, get off the damn phone. What's the problem here? Get off the phone or walk away. Nobody wants to hear your conversation. Being as it may, let's move on, okay? Now, I want to talk about the NBA. Things that are going on in the NBA. I also want to talk, as you should know, if anybody who carries it, excuse me. Let me slow down here because I got a little upset. Let me slow down. Anybody who covers or pay attention to what's going on in the NBA knows that the NBA draft took place on Thursday evening. It was, I wouldn't say full of surprises, but for some fans, they were, how can I say it, unpleasantly surprised about the pick their team made. Now, the consensus number one pick, I'm going to go down the top 30 picks, but the consensus number one pick, by all who supposedly in the know, was the big man from Kentucky, the NCAA champion Kentucky team, a freshman, happens to be by the name, one of the names, besides being called Unibrow, talking about Anthony Davis, 6'11", 222 pounds, power forward. His specialty, quite naturally, is a defense, and he's considered to be a Tim Duncan / Kevin Garnett hybrid. It was a possibility of winning multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards, and I think he's better offensively than most people think. That first pick went to the New Orleans Hornets, who owns by Tom Benson. I think it's a great pick to build around for the Hornets. Anthony Davis is a high motor guy, unselfish team player type of guy. Calipari did a good job for the short time he had him. Speaking of that, Calipari was there, sitting with his Kentucky players, and a few of them went in the first round, and I'll get to that in a minute. I just want to go down the 30 teams, I should say not teams, 30 picks, because there was a few teams that had multiple picks in the first round, the Hornets being one of them. Okay, the second pick, the Michael Jordan, part of Michael Jordan owns this team, is with the Charlotte Bobcats. Another Kentucky player, first time the two freshmen go 1-2 for one. Two Kentucky players go 1-2 for another. First time ever that's happened in the NBA draft that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist got picked by the Charlotte Bobcats. 6'8", 233 pounds, small forward. I like the pick for Charlotte, but I wouldn't say he's a perfect pick. He may be the can be questioned, the second best player in the draft, but he's got a lot of work to do, especially on the offensive side. Because of his talent, he may not work as hard as you would want him to work, so he may have to work harder to be a better, quite naturally, to be a better player, especially on the offensive end. His jump shot is a little bit, in my opinion, suspect. So I would think he would have to work on that. Moving on to the number three pick. Now, this is speaking to my fellow host or co-host, Black the Bookie, on Thursday, and there was a couple other Washington Wizards fans that called into the show, talking about the FSP Crew show, which happens to air on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. He was these guys were highly upset that they picked this kid. Now, the first three picks of the draft were three freshmen, this being one of them. This kid is very young. I think he's just turned 19, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm talking about Bradley Beal from Florida, shooting guard, 6'5", 202 pounds, slight build guy. Some people say he's a perfect fit for the Wizards. They needed somebody who could shoot. Let me put it this way: from what I understand, Beal is one of the best shooters in the draft, and it may make the Wizards a little bit more competitive. Now, who can say? Like I said, I got the number 347-637-3220. I know there's quite a few DMV, meaning fans from the Maryland, Virginia area, excuse me, that listen to the show, or in D.C. area that listen to the show, that may want to call in and dispute me on that. Bradley Beal is their pick. Ernie Grunfeld, who's native New Yorker who used to do the same job for the New York Knicks, and now the Wizards have him. All I can say is good luck with Ernie Grunfeld. I know you had him for a little bit. This is a pick that a lot of people that are Wizards fans don't agree with. If they hold on to him, fine. If they don't, that's fine, too. I've been told that he had got bust written all over him, but we'll have to wait and see. Moving on to the fourth pick, Cleveland. Cleveland picks, Dion Waiters, 6'4", 221-pound shooting guard out of Syracuse. He's shot up the board pretty quickly. A month ago, he was viewed as a mid to late round first rounder. Now he's the number four pick that Cleveland picked. He had a workout in Vegas, and I guess that that workout it opened some eyes, and they decided to, you know, Cleveland, I mean, as I'm talking about, decided to jump on him. He's not a real good shooter, but he can be a dominant player. He is a slasher, he likes to get to the basket. So, you can best believe he needs to work on his jump shot also. Excuse me there. Having oral issues here. going to the number five pick. Now, I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. I think he's to the next level. I think he can be a beast. I really believe he can be a beast in this. This is the Sacramento Kings. They're picking five. Got a power forward out of Kansas called Thomas Robinson, 6'9". Maybe a little undersized to be a power forward, but the Sacramento Kings need toughness. And the rebounding and the motor that Thomas Robinson brings to the table, I think, is a perfect fit, especially along the nastiness and the no prisoners type of attitude that DeMarcus Cousins have. To put these two guys in the front court would be like for those who are old school, Google Wes Unseld, and he was an undersized center playing for the Washington Capitals, Washington Wizards, and Washington Bullets, I should say. He was an undersized 6'7" center at the time, wide as the door, but tough as nails. Well, in my opinion, putting these two guys in the front court in for the Sacramento Kings is comparable to that. These guys are scrappers. They are tough-minded guys. Take no doubt about it. DeMarcus Cousins and if Thomas Robinson brings it, are going to be a formidable duo in the Western Conference. Even though Sacramento needs more pieces, those two pieces are next to each other, if they pan out, can be trouble for any opponents that the Sacramento Kings play. Let's move on again. Okay, now we're going to Portland. Portland. You know, I talked on Portland before on a cruise show on Thursday. Seems like Portland is one of those franchises. You remember Greg Odom, the center for the Portland Trailblazers that they drafted a few years ago, that really hasn't panned out because all he's done with for them is give him a name on the injury list. But that's not the first Portland mishap on a big man. They also had a mishap with Sam Bowie when Sam Bowie and Michael Jordan were in the same draft. And instead of Portland taking Michael Jordan, they took the big man, Sam Bowie. And Sam Bowie had a very short and, to say the least, not too glamorous career in the NBA. And needless to say, we know what Michael Jordan did. So just remember that about Portland. Portland seems like they are snake bitten when it comes to big men. But they didn't pick a big man this time. They picked the guy from Weber State, Damian Lillard, 6'3", 189, slight build, point guard. I mean, he's a point guard. They need somebody to run their offense. And Lillard has a chance to be very good at the next level. He is efficient. And he's a great shooter. He can get to the rim and he plays hard. What he needs to, it's his point guard. Now, a point guard needs to have court vision. But he's a hard worker, and I think he'll get better and better. So he needs that vision. And in my opinion, if you don't have it coming to this level by now, that could be a problem, okay? That can be a problem. But you never know about these guys. I mean, these first-round picks, a lot of pressure on these guys. And as we all know, some pan out, some don't. Going to the seventh pick that the NBA 2012 draft, Golden State picks Harrison Barnes, a small forward, 6'8", 228 pounds, from the University of North Carolina. Deion Waiters was gone at the time, so they took Barnes. They needed three, but Barnes was the best on the board. Now, they now have Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Barnes to shoot it from deep. So what I'm saying is, this is going to be one of those teams that is going to be shooting a lot of threes, probably making a lot of threes, playing from the outside in, shooting a lot of threes, drawing the defense outside in order for their inside men to take advantage of that. Decent pick, not world beaters, but he's a good shooter. Got some nice size to him. 6'8", 228, nice size. And let's see how he takes it to the next level. Number eight, the Toronto Raptors take Terrence Ross, 6'7", 197. Probably needs to put some weight on 197, the shooting guard. Definitely needs to put a little bit of weight on 197. The rigors of an 82-game season in the NBA versus the college game. He's from the University of Washington. Toronto wanted a shooter to go with their other player, DeRozan. And Ross is a good shooter, but I don't know if he's good enough for an eighth-round pick. The number eight pick, I should say. I thought it'd be a lot later in the first round, maybe early second. Eighth pick, I think this was a little bit of a reach, but we'll have to see if it pans out. Then we go to the number ninth pick, the Detroit Pistons. Now, this one puzzles me. This one really puzzles me. But what do I know? I'm not Detroit Pistons. I don't know what they're seeing this guy, but it is what it is. They have to deal with it now. Hopefully this guy pans out. I'm talking about Andre Drummond, 6 foot, 279 pound senior, center out of University of Connecticut. There's a lot of high risk, high reward here, okay? If he winds out in a perfect situation in Detroit, fine. They need a shot blocker and a rebounder in the paint to go with Greg Monroe. Drummond is, said at least, is a project. Why you would take a project in the ninth pick? He has a lot of upside, but so does everyone else in the draft. The question, and it's a real one, is whether he'll reach it. So if you're reaching for a guy who's your first pick, your ninth pick, I don't know. Jury's going to be out on this guy. He's going to be highly scrutinized. Hopefully, this guy's not another Greg Oden. I wasn't too impressed with Oden when he did play. I'm not sure if I'll be impressed with this guy with the number ninth pick, Detroit. I'm not too keen on that. And the number 10th pick, this should be a pretty interesting pick here, people. New Orleans picked a big man for the first pick. And they come back around because they had a second pick in the first round, the number 10 pick. And they pick this guy, 6'5", 203 pounds, shooting guard from Duke. For those who don't know who Austin Rivers is, that happens to be Doc Rivers' son. He was a freshman, and he got picked by the New Orleans Hornets. This is a very interesting pick for the Hornets. Monty Williams is close to Doc Rivers. Austin Rivers is friend with Anthony Davis. I'm not sure about Austin Rivers. I'm telling you right now. But I like Monty Williams as a coach. Now, I do like Monty Williams. I said this before. Monty Williams is an up-and-coming, young, up-and-coming coach. And he'll put Doc Rivers' son in a position to succeed. So, big man, first pick, New Orleans Hornets. Second pick, shooting guard / point guard, Austin Rivers. Two freshmen, two young guys, two real young guys with a young, energetic coach. I'm not exactly sure he fits with Eric Gordon, but so we're talking about Eric Gordon, Anthony Davis, and Doc Rivers. Let's see if they can play together. But this is another exciting making of a young team. We'll have to wait and see how this young team melds and how Monty Williams gets the best out of these young players. Stay tuned. That's all I can do to say stay tuned. All right, that's a top 10 picks. I'm going to be going on the other picks, but I just wanted to say this. Vic, and I'm just getting off for a minute. Vic, we made a gentlemanly wager on what you would do to my team that I've been thoroughly dominating in the fantasy baseball league that you invited me into. First time in it, and the reason why I'm monikered the master is because whatever I get into, I master this, and I'm mastering this league. I'm dominating you this week. I'll probably dominate you for the remainder of the weekend, and I'm dominating this league. Hopefully, and I humbly say this, hopefully, I can dominate through the regular season of this league and win the monetary reward and also the championship in the playoffs. I'm currently the number one seed right now as we stand, a little more than halfway through the fantasy baseball season. And I've enjoyed up until this point. And I'll enjoy, regardless of the turnout, whatever turns out, I'll enjoy that also because this is my first year venturing into fantasy baseball. I usually take a very numbers and analytical approach and mix that with a gut approach of what I know about the game of baseball and the players and what I'm looking for in a baseball player versus an everyday player or a pitcher. And I've been doing very well. And Vic, you are the victim of that this week. This is the second time we've met. Seems like it's going to be the second time I've taken you. taking you to the woodshed and spank the butt. I know we meet again near the end of the season. I told you before that you would not make the playoffs, and I still believe you will not make the playoffs. Not where you're at. Two divisions, you're last in the Eastern Division, which I'm also in, which I'm first. I'm the number one seed, like I said. Good luck for the rest of the weekend. On back to the NBA draft recap or preview. review. Number 11, Portland. Another pick that Portland has. They take a big man. Another big man. Now, Portland took... Hold on a minute. Let me just recap here. Portland took, with the number 6 pick, Damian Lillard, a point guard. Now they come back and take a big man out of University of Illinois, 7'1", 250-pound center, Myers Leonard. From what I understand here, the Blazers needed size, and Leonard was the biggest player in the draft at 7'1". He's a good athlete. He can be a good defender. He's a project. He could be a good big man down the road. I don't understand that though. If you could be, or if you're labeled a project, could be is a bad word. Project is another word. Down the road is another set of bad words for a first round pick, especially when you're the 11th pick of the first round. Why? Oh, why, unless this draft is so paper thin that in order to get a project, a possible nice big man down the road, if he gets serious, those words are telling me why you're not a first round pick. Is this draft that bad that you got to go that route? I know big men are a premium, but in this day and age, the big man, the big man, is like passé. You really don't need a big man. You need somebody who's athletic. So, excuse me, if you get somebody who's 6'9", 6'10". Not in range and very athletic, that can offset a guy who's 7'1", 7 foot, who's a project. But Portland has the habit of doing these things, and I don't agree with this, but it is what it is. Well, let's move on to the number 12 pick at Houston. Another guy from University of Connecticut. That's number 2 from Connecticut. A 6'5", 179 shooting guard that needs to put some weight on. You're playing in the NBA. You got to put a little bit more weight on to survive. 179 pounds. You need to probably get up to 2. Need to get up to closer to 200. Excuse me. Damn. Talking about Jeremy Lin. For those who know the NBA, the Rockets, we're trying to move up to the top 10. And they end up getting a player projected by many as a top 10 pick. He's a good athlete, a good shooter. He's got a long wingspan, and he needs to be more or less pushed, meaning his motor is not where it should be. But he's a solid pick at number 12, but you need a strong coach that's going to push this guy. Let me put it that way. And hopefully a locker room of veterans to help push this guy, because he may be take time off, take a little bit, a little time off. Now, I'm not talking about taking time off like not playing, but on the court he may decide to try to coast a little bit when you should be going hard all the time. The number 13 pick, the number unlucky 13, maybe by many, not by few. Phoenix takes somebody from North Carolina, another North Carolina, point guard, 198 pounds, 6'4", Kendall Marshall. I like this pick. I like this pick. He's the best passer in the draft with a real possibility that Steve Nash leaves this summer. They probably need someone to run the team. And this guy, I really like this guy. He's not as athletic as you want him to be, and he's probably going to struggle on a defensive end. But he's a on the offensive end, as being a floor leader, he's somebody special. If Nash leaves, I think the Suns have filled the need for a solid point guard. This guy, I think if Nash leaves, this guy can help fill the void. I know Steve Nash is Steve Nash, but this may soften the blow a little more if he pans out as most people think he can, include myself. Excuse me. Number 14th pick. We're talking about Milwaukee picking another. Now this is number 3 of 3 North Carolinians. This is a power forward, 216 pounds, 6'10". Now he needs to add some size. 216 pounds on a 6'10" frame is not a big frame. He needs to add some weight on that frame. He's got to get tiger in that butt. He needs to shore up that 6'10", 216. That's a little slight. He's one of the best shot blockers in the draft. The Bucks targeted him early, and they tried to move up to get him. The Bucks felt that he was a top 10 talent, and as did several other teams. This is a solid guy, but he needs to put some weight on. He needs some muscle. 6'10", he's got the size. 216, he ain't got the weight. Plain and simple, he does not have the weight. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. You're talking to, you're listening to the FSP show. I'm JTATM and Call the Master, among other things, but just don't call me out my name. Filling in for Vic, and we're reviewing what took place on Thursday, the first round of the NBA draft. We're just about halfway with the NBA draft. And we're going to go to number 15, which is the halfway point, for the Philadelphia 76ers, taking a product out of St. John's, 6'9", 207, small forward, by the name of Maurice Harkless. Now, this guy's also been a rising star as the draft became closer and closer. He's a good athlete, an excellent slasher. He's one of these slasher type of guys, like Trevor Ariza. Very athletic guy, but he's not a real good shooter. He's a slasher. He likes to get to the hole because that's his comfort zone. His comfort zone is not taking a jump shot. He's more comfortable driving into the basket. Do they really need another person like that on this team? They needed a shooter. This is another questionable pick. Guys got very athletic. Unless you're going to think this guy can pan out and got a high upside in producing a jump shot from him. Then I have to question this pick. I hate to say it, but it is what it is. Then we go to Houston again. Houston's another pick. This one came from the New York Knicks. Knicks don't have a first round pick in the draft, and Houston is a beneficiary of this. And they pick a 6'8", 261-pound small forward, 261-pound small forward. That's a lot of weight. From Iowa State, by the name of Royce White. From what I'm saying, 261-pound small forward. That's he's an unusual player in the draft. He can be labeled a point power forward who can distribute the ball and can dominate with the ball in his hands. He's big and strong, quite naturally, 261 pounds, 6'8". He's big and strong. He may be a project, another project. 261 pounds, he's probably going to need to lose, if he's a small forward, unless you're going to make him a power forward, and he may be undersized for a power forward. He's a tweener. 261 pounds, he needs to lose some weight. Small forward, 261 pounds, that's a lot of weight for a small forward to be handling, to be trying to deal with other small forwards who are more athletic. I think he definitely needs to, get in the gym and with a trainer from the team or whoever, or his personal trainer, and help him shed some pounds, get some quickness. He's going to have to do quite a bit to stay in the small forward position. In my opinion, he's a tweener between a small forward and more point pushing to a power forward type of guy. 261 is a power forward to me. Let's move to pick number 17. The Dallas Mavericks are on the clock, and they pick another guy from North Carolina. This is a center from North Carolina, 7 foot, 247 pounds. Now listen to me when I say this. The prior pick was 6'8", 261. This guy's got 2 more inches and 14 less pounds on his body. This kid needs to beef up. 7 foot. And bear with me for a minute, people. I'll take that back. This wasn't Dallas. It was Dallas's pick, and it became Cleveland's pick. But this guy still needs to put some weight on. 7 foot, 247. He's going to be going against some big boys down there. 247 ain't going to cut it. He's going to get pushed around. Cleveland needed some size as well. And I think this player, Tyler Zeller, will be able to come in and play right away. He runs the floor as well as any big man, and will help with an up-tempo style that the Cavs plan to play. It's a nice pick, but like I said, he needs to bulk up. This is the NBA. No boys allowed club, okay? NBA, no boys allowed. You got to beef up. 7 foot, 247, you got to put more weight on, son. Otherwise, you can get punked out. Trust me, you're going to get punked out. 7 foot center, you can get punked out. Number 18th pick. Now we'll go to Houston. Another Kentucky player. Kentucky's all over the place here. North Carolina's all over the place here. Power forwards, 252 pounds, 6'10". Now, this is what I'm talking about. Nice size, both height and weight. Nice size, 252, 6'10". This guy is solid. And I literally like this kid, Terrence Jones. He's a good rebounder, a shot blocker, and he's got a nice size to play in the paint. He can handle the ball, and also shoot the three, and he likes to play on the perimeter. I like this kid a lot. I mean, he's pretty versatile. In my opinion, he's a better shooter. He's a better shooter than Michael Kidd Gilchrist. I like this kid. I think he's going to be a sleeper in this draft. I think Houston has gotten themselves a nice gem at pick number 18. I think that is spot on with that. All right, let's move on to number 19, Orlando, who's picking 19, like I said. They've taken a 6'10", 234-pound power forward at St. Bonaventure by the name of Andrew Nicholson. 6'10", 234. Power forward. He probably needs to put on a little bit of weight. Got nice size and height. 234. He probably needs to put on a little bit more weight. He'd be playing in the paint. More on the athletic side. He's a good low post player, and he can really stretch the floor. He's best shooting big man in the draft. He needs to add some muscle, just like I said. He's not a great athlete, but he could be a little like David West. David West is a pretty good serviceable player. So I would. That's not a bad player. I mean, as long as he doesn't sustain the injuries that David West had, then I think he can be a pretty good player. That for Orlando, with the idea that they may be losing Dwight Howard to whatever team Dwight Howard decides to go to or gets traded to. I'm not saying he's going to be replacing completely Dwight Howard, but this is a good step in the right direction for that. We'll go to the number 20 pick, and we're going to Rocky Mountain High. Talking about Denver. And we're coming from the European side this time. We're getting a player from France, a 6'7", 206 shooting guard by the name of Evan Fournier, F-O-U-R, Fournier, I-E-R. So he's a slashing two guard who put up pretty good numbers in France. The Nuggets will have to decide whether to stash this player back in Europe or bring him over now. He's got great upside, but he needs to add lots of strength. 206, 6'7", yeah, he's like more in the line of Reggie Miller. That sounds like Reggie Miller, about 6'7", 6'8", and probably around that same size, two in the low twos, high 190s. So I would think that they may push him back and stash him for a year, whatever. But who knows with these teams? Then we go to pick number 21, the Leprechauns, the ones that sit up in Boston, Beantown, has the 21st pick, and the Beantown Celtics, or Boston Celtics as everybody else knows them, pick a 6'9", 268-pound power forward out of Ohio State. Speaking of Ohio State, shout out to Ohio State. My nephew graduated Ohio State in 3 years, is enjoying a fantastic job right out of college, 3 years out of college. My nephew, I don't know what happened to me, but my nephew has got brains working in Chicago now. Loves the Chicago area, loves his new job. Got nothing but best of luck for him in his new career working in a windy city in Chicago. Anyway, getting back to Ohio State's pick, Ohio State's player named Jared Sullinger. Great pick for Boston. This is another risk outweighs the reward outweighs the risk. Sullinger's got some real good concern about his back, but he's the best low point scorer in the draft. If he stays healthy, he's the steal of the draft, and I totally agree with that. This guy's a beast down low, 6'9", 268. He's got some pounds in his ass, and he's not afraid to use it. And he's got a mean streak in him also. I like this pick a lot. Boston, Danny Ainge did a great job in getting this guy for the number 21st pick. And the thing about it is this. Boston comes back around again, the next pick, and gets the 22nd pick. Now, my boy Black on Thursday said he wouldn't know what to do. One of our guests had talked about Fab Melo as being as a strong sleeper and a pick that may get picked late in the draft in the first round. And my boy Black said, no way. This kid, the second, third round pick at the most, no way he's going to get picked in the first round. Well, Black, my man, when you found out about this, I text you, and you were about to go crazy when Fab Melo, with the 22nd pick, was picked by the Boston Celtics. 7 foot, 255-pound center out of Syracuse, who you do not like anyway because Black happens to be a Georgetown Hoya fan. One of the rivalries is with Syracuse because both of them have been in the Big East and are rivals in football and basketball, especially basketball. But, yes, Black, Fab Melo, he's big. He blocks shots. He rebounds on the offensive glass. He's a major project. But the Celtics were in a desperate need of size. Don't expect much from him offensively. But they want is a little defense. That's it. So if 7 foot, 255 pounds, you need a body to block shots and grab rebounds. You got him with Fab Melo. Didn't think he was going to get picked this high, even though it's a 22nd pick in the first round. Didn't think he was going to get picked this high, but he did. Anyway, moving on to the 23rd pick, which is the Atlanta Hawks. They went to Tennessee, college in Tennessee, Vanderbilt, 6'4", 212-pound shooting guard, John Jenkins. Don't know too much about Jenkins. From what I understand, he may be the best shooter in the draft. He's a little undersized, 6'4", 212 pounds, and one-dimensional. From what I understand, he's super quick. I mean, he's got a super quick release, and he's got the pretty deep range. And the Hawks need shooters in their backcourt. So this is what they mainly got him for. I envision him coming off the bench being instant offense, something like a Jamal Crawford type of thing. A quick spot-up shooter, passing the ball. He can get the ball off like a Ray Allen or like that, quick release, or like a Ray Allen, sorry. That's what I envision him in being, probably instant offense off the bench. Anyway, going to the 24th pick, which was Cleveland, but Cleveland did a swap with Dallas, and Cleveland now has the Dallas now has the pick here, and they pick Jared Cunningham, a 6'5" shooting guard, 188 pounds, from Oregon State. This kid. Now, if you see this theme here, there's a lot of young kids coming out, quite naturally, a lot of young kids coming out, and there's a lot of kids coming out that need to put some weight on. You're in the big boy club now, not no boys allowed club, NBA. You got to put some weight on to make it here. You have to be tough enough to take the punishment that's about to be bestowed on you when you step on the court against these seasoned veterans, older guys. So you, 188 pounds, ain't going to get it. You got to put a little bit more weight on there, son. At least get up to two. At least get up to two. Okay? 12 more pounds shouldn't help you that much. Cunningham is compared to Russell Westbrook-esque type athlete who slashes to the basket. And he finishes above the rim. Problem with him, a lot of these slashers, the reason they do that is because they lack a jump shot. So he's got to develop his jump shot a little more than he, because he's not going to be able to get the basket all the time. Because as soon as they figure out his game, they're going to cut that off. And now, what good is he to the team? He's got to be able to develop a jump shot. And then he's also got to bring out his point guard skills. This is let me put it this way: this pick here is a Josh Hamilton type of pick. You either get a home run or you get a strikeout. So I think Dallas is swinging for the fences here. So we'll see what happens with this. All right? Then we get to the 25th pick, which is the Memphis Grizzlies. They go to the back to the state of Washington and pluck out their 6'6", 203 point guard by the name of Tony Royton Jr. He's an excellent passer. He's an exciting passer. Probably the most exciting one in the draft. But it may be, like prior I talked to a Russell Westbrook type of player. Well, this guy may be the most out-of-control point guard in the draft. A lot of people think Russell Westbrook plays out of control. He's a good athlete. He can get to the basket. He can get to the basket, like a lot of them. He needs to develop his jump shot. Point guard, you need to develop your shot. So you guys, this summer, you got to develop a jump shot. You got to work on your game. You got to take it to the next level because you're at the next level. He's a high-risk, high-reward player. But with the right coaching, he could be a good pick for the Grizzlies. Then we go to the Indiana Pacers with the 26th pick. Then we go to Mike Krzyzewski's territory. Talking about a player from Duke. Talking about the power forward, 252 pounds, 7 foot, Miles Plumlee. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about a power forward or roughly a power forward slash center should be. 252 pounds, he's got some beef. There's some beef there. It may be a reach by the Pacers. This guy's averaged about six, a little more than six, maybe close to seven rebounds. Points per game and about seven rebounds per game as a senior at Duke, which is not real good numbers, to say the least. He's got a good vertical leap, and he's strong as a bull. But He's got to develop his offensive game, especially in Indiana. He needs an offensive game. He's got the height. He's got the weight. Now he needs to develop his offensive game. It needs to come. Averaged 6.6 points per game in college on the front line team, as in Duke. You got to take it to the next level. Hope you're not another Christian Laettner. Laettner was a big man, storied big man, with a lot of hype coming out of college. Never quite panned out coming from Duke. This guy, less fanfare, less points per game. Hope he's not a dud like a lot of Duke players. A lot of Duke players, they're great college players. They're not so in the pros. Some of them have panned out decently, but not superstars. Anyway, let's move to the pick number 27 with the world champions, Miami Heat. We're going down to the state of Mississippi with the Mississippi State 233-pound power forward, 6'11", Arnett Moultrie. And the thing about that wasn't a Miami pick. That was a Philadelphia pick. And the Heat got returned for that. Moultrie was a future first-round pick and the 45th pick in the draft. Now, Moultrie was a favorite of the Sixers, and he fits them well. He's another great athlete, 233 pounds, 6'11". He needs to put a little bit more weight on, and he can really rebound. He can also spread the floor, and he can even shoot threes. 6'11", he's not a shot blocker, and he should be. And sometimes you may not see him on the floor. He may be there, but he may not be there, if you know what I mean. But he's a decent player for where you got him at 27. So he's a good value pick. Going to 28, the runner-ups, Oklahoma City. Look for this. This is a pick that I'm highly anticipating watching next year. 6'11", 234 pounds, power forward out of RG3's territory, talking about Baylor. Perry Jones. Thing about Perry Jones, he slid on a draft board because of a concern about his knee. Along with that, teams were concerned about if he had a high motor or if he had any kind of motor at all, meaning he may be one of those lazy big men. He's got the height. He figured he can get over with just his height, not having to work hard. But this is the 28th pick, and it's a no-brainer pick and a great pick for the Thunder. He's long and athletic, and he should thrive in their system. He's a great pick, like I said, at 28. All right. Then we go from the 28th pick to the 29th pick, and we go to the Windy City. Michael Jordan owned this. University of Kentucky. That's another pick from the UK, or the NCAA champions. 6'2", little shorty, 180-pound point guard. Marcus Teague. This is a good pick for the Bulls. He's super quick. He can get to the basket, and he's coming around as a good, decent point guard. With Derrick Rose out due to injury and not knowing exactly how he'll come back, this is a nice pick. So we'll see what happens with that one. Then we'll go to the last pick in the first round. Excuse me. Damn. Golden State picks. I don't know too much about this guy. I'm just going on word of mouth here. from Vanderbilt, another guy from Vanderbilt, the center, 264 pounds, another seven-footer, by the name of Festus Ezeli. He's big. He's built like a tank, 264 pounds. Yeah, he's got some size to him. He's a solid rebounder and a defender. It's the last pick in the first round. You may have gotten better talents, but this is a solid pick. I mean, Golden State, you know, Golden State for the most part is really they're trying to be. They're trying to stand out, but I think they're a little bit nondescript. So this, to me, is another nondescript pick from Golden State. That's all I can say about that. And that's round of 30. Excuse me, around the first round pick, 30 picks. Like I said, the Knicks didn't have a first round pick, so you didn't hear that name being called. I don't know what your opinions are, but in my opinion, it's a weak draft. There's really not a lot of standout players. Some of these guys may rise to the occasion on how they perform in the NBA, but they're no boys allowed. Club is going to be ready for you guys. So I hope you 19, 20, 21 years old and older are ready for this, because you're going to be up for a rude awakening when these guys start pounding on you and laying some wood on you when you try to come slash to the middle, thinking, watch what I do when I get to the middle. Watch what I do when I get to the rim. You may be looking up from your back saying, what happened? Just understand that. Moving on, if you, like I said, if you follow the NBA, then you know that Kevin Garnett has decided to return to the Boston Celtics. And he's going to be returning with a new $45 million contract. I think that's a good move for the Celtics. I think that's a good move for Kevin Garnett. And that it gives one more chance of the Celtics doing some damage. The only other problem with that is that the Miami Heat are said to be hot and heavy to try to lure Ray Allen to South Beach. So just imagine what happens if Ray Allen gets lured to South Beach and decides to take that up. What do you think? How do you think that's going to be? You think Miami may have a strong chance of repeating? I think they do. I really think they do. Ray Allen, along with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Ray Allen, that, in my opinion, smells trouble. Big trouble for those in the Eastern Conference, and could be big troubles for those in the Western Conference at all. Even though that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to have one more year under their belt, taken one more step. They went to the Western Conference Finals and got turned away. They took that step, went past the Western Conference Finals, went to the NBA Finals, took that step. I see them taking one more giant step for mankind and doing some damage, doing some serious damage. Doing some serious damage to the to the rest of the league. Anyway, let's move on to something I also wanted to talk about. And I'm going to kind of go away from the NBA. I've spent enough time on the NBA, more than an hour and a half, or close to an hour and a half. Usain Bolt, while the U.S. had a slow night filled with semifinals at the track and field Olympic trials, drama happened at the Jamaican Olympic trials. Johan Blake upset world record holder and defending Olympic champion Usain Bolt. Now check this out, people. Excuse me. Blake ran the 100 meters in 9.75 seconds, giving him his best time this year. He started fast and didn't let go of the lead. Bolt was slowed out of the blocks and finished by pulling up. According to Associated Press, Bolt was distracted by someone near the start line. For Blake, it was the perfect way to gain momentum heading into his first Olympics. Bolt and Blake will still run in the 200 meter, with heat starting on Saturday and the final Sunday night. The good news about this loss is Bolt has a true challenger. Blake is the current world champion because Bolt had a false start in the semifinal at the World Championships and is now the Jamaican champion. With the world record of 9.58 firmly in hand and few runners near his talent level, Bolt was running out of challenges. Now Blake has two titles, Bolt doesn't, and the two are set up for an exciting 100-meter duel in London. If for nothing else, I like watching these type of races. So I'm looking forward to watching this take place. I'm looking forward to Usain Bolt and my man Johan Blake go against each other. That's one of my highlights in watching the champions go in the Olympics. I like the sprints, male and female, hurdles, male and female. That's one of the things I know a lot of people have the same thing. They like to watching those things. It's just something that it's good to watch. That's plain and simple. Let's move on to some baseball news. For the first time since 1931, another guy who I happen to have on my fantasy baseball team he's done it twice within a 2-week period. He's hit for the cycle. For those who don't know what hitting for the cycle is, he's gotten a single, a double, a triple, and a home run. Aaron Hill of the Arizona Diamondbacks has done it twice in the last 2 weeks. That's a major accomplishment, in my opinion. It doesn't happen that often, like I said. It happens very few each year, and for a person to do it so quickly between the first and second time, it may happen that he may be able to do it again. But I wouldn't say it's highly unlikely, but I would think that it'd be highly anticipated that he does this again. So, with that being said, I'm looking forward to that taking place, and watching it take place, especially if it benefits my fantasy baseball team. Let's also talk about this. My computer is acting up here. Hold on a minute here. We'll get myself together. Let's talk about this. I have been thinking about this for a while. What's going to happen? Let's talk about this. What's going to happen in this November? Been a lot of rhetoric talking back and forth about what this administration has been doing and what hasn't been doing. I know there's a lot of rhetoric talked about how much money's been spent, who's spending it, who is responsible for the problems we have in the economy in the U.S., the unemployment rate, this new thing that the supposedly conservative Supreme Court ruled on the side of Obama and Obamacare, and a lot of people are up in arms about having to deal and accept the Obamacare. Because of things that are happening. What's going to happen? What side are you on? Are you in the middle? Are you the type of person that is not going to pay attention, not going to take yourself to the polls, not going to make your vote or the way you feel count? Male or female? Older generation, younger generation, doesn't make a difference. You have a responsibility as an American citizen to step up to the plate and to cast your vote, whether it's for or against the president administration, doesn't make a difference. Whether it's for or against your local administration, doesn't make it a difference. Whether it's for or against your state administration, it doesn't make a difference. The difference is whether you stay home or get off your butt and go to the polls and cast your vote. That's the difference. You can make a difference. You don't think because of one vote can make a difference. Look at the decision in the Supreme Court. They often have 5-4 decisions all the time. That one vote makes a difference. And lately, because of the economy, geography of the Supreme Court, of how it's laid out, conservative versus liberal type of judges, you often get close decisions, whether you agree with the decision or not. It's more than most, you get a close decision because each one of those judges got elected, not elected, got put in that position for a reason, and for the most part carry out that agenda of whoever put them in the Supreme Court, whoever nominated them for the Supreme Court, and then confirmed. So So think about that the next time you decide to sit home when the clock's ticking and the polls are about to close. Your right as an American citizen is to get up off your butt, get involved, understand the issues that are at hand, whether you agree with the issues whatever side you fall on in the issues. You vote what you feel. I may not agree with a lot of things that my co-hosts, no matter who they are politically, what side of the fence they're on, but I respect their opinion. I don't hold it personally toward them, but I respect their opinion. We humbly disagree, agree to disagree, I should say. So you'll be hearing more and more, maybe not on this program, but on my program, which is the Master Plan, on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday, or the FSP Cruise Show. You may hear some political banter back and forth on that, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays, every Thursday. But you'll definitely hear banter and discussion and debate on the No Chaser Show, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is hosted by Mac Williams, who is definitely not, who definitely has his own opinion on how he sees the world and how he sees the politics in the United States. And myself, I'm co-host that show at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to hear some political rhetoric, especially closer and closer to the election, I guarantee you that it's going to be straight talk. It's going to be probably some heated debate because he has strong opinions on how he feels. I have strong opinions on how I feel and how I see the world and how I see the world of politics in the U.S. and how he sees the world of politics in the world of politics in the U.S. So I foresee us sparking some serious debate on a political end and a policy end of what the U.S. and the U.S. government is doing now and in the going to be doing in the future. So along with those four shows, we also have another show called the Compassion Dakini. Now, this is Kim Fun. Kim Fun is very a spiritual type of person. She's a change of pace, complete change of pace from whatever we do on the Master Plan on Sunday, the FSP Cruise Show on Thursday, No Chaser on Friday, FSP Show on Saturday. On Tuesday, Kim Fun puts you in a different light, puts you in a different frame of mind, puts you into a compassionate state of mind, I should say. She's on at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tune into her show. She has a strong following. She is a very compassionate person. She is a very spiritual person, and I can guarantee you'll get some spiritual enlightenment from her show, listening to her and having her try to guide you to a more peaceful way of life, if so speak. So those are the five shows that we have, that Vic has in the network. I'll run them off to you again. The Master Plan starts the week off 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's hosted by myself. On Tuesday, we don't have anything on Monday. On Tuesday, we have Kim Fun, Compassion Dakini. That is a change of pace show we have. No sports most of the time is talked on that show. That's on 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. No shows on Wednesday. The next show would be the FFP Cruise Show, which would be on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's hosted by myself, co-hosted by Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Black's from the D.C. area. Jeff's from Northern Jersey area. I'm from Central Jersey. We have different perspectives from different regions of state and states. So join that. There's a very enlightening and very enjoyable conversation we have on Thursday. Then we have No Chaser. Like I said, 7 p.m., Mac Williams has his own way of saying things and doing things. And he gives it to you like the name of the show is. No Chaser. There's nothing. He doesn't hold anything back. He gives it to you the way he feels it. And that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. As long as the show is in existence, that's how he's going to roll. And I agree with him. Even though he comes from a different end than I do, we still roll together. Then the FSP show, which Vic will be back next week. He'll be back next week, hopefully settled in his old digs, new digs, on the left coast. He left Europe, left the European campaign where he was at. He's enjoying the States right now, and he'll be moving to his permanent venue, which is in the Northern California area. And he'll be coming live and in color on that. Next week at this time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you'll be listening to Vic's voice as he hosts the show. I'll be co-hosting it. So those are the shows. Those are what we got going for us. Enjoy it. Always the same number. The call in is 347-637-3220. You got a comment. You got anything that we want to say about anything. That's going on, what we're talking about. Even if we're not talking about it, you want to roll with a different subject, I'm pretty sure, as flexible as all we are, that we'll roll with you just to see, just to either gain some knowledge, give some knowledge, or just have a discussion. We roll with that. We also always have a chat room up to discuss the things that are going on. If you like to roll with that, if you don't want to talk on the phone, you can also put it in the chat room. We'll see it. We'll see who made the statement. We can talk about it on the air or through the chat room. We can also do that. We are very versatile in how we do things. We're very appreciative of anyone who calls or listens or exchanges in the chat room. Our audience is what makes us go. With that being said, I want to thank you for listening. I appreciate you for listening. It was a pleasure for the last 2 weeks on being with this show because I enjoy being on the show quite a bit. Gives me the chance to air, besides being on master plan. Man, I got brain lock. Besides being on the master plan and the FSP crew show and the No Chaser, that's four shows that I'm on. FSP crew show I host. No Chaser I co-host. FSP show I co-host, Master Plan I host. Four shows. I don't know if you get enough of me or not, but I really appreciate you tuning in, and I'm going to be cutting this show probably as we speak. I wanted to thank everyone for listening, and until next time. You have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble! You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasies, sports, and politics.